here's Auntie herself to show us how the old school solves the teenage problem. In Nigel Neal's tale, Oh, Mirror, Mirror.
Now, there's no call to start so, Judith. It's only your auntie. There. There, lie back in the bed now. Let me pull the covers round you against the draught. Oh. Oh, and a sip of water. Your forehead's hot, dear, here. No, you're wrong, dearest. It's hot. It's not normal. Yes, I know it feels cool to you, dear. Oh, but then, never mind. Poor little Judy. Well, I'm going to sit with you for a while. There. My, what fine cane chairs you have in your room, haven't you? I think they are two of the cosiest in the whole house. Age doesn't matter with really good articles. You know that, don't you? And funding repairs sometimes spoil things we've grown used to and fond of. Now I want you to lie quite still and restful. I'm going to talk to you, dear. Yes, it's about what happened yesterday afternoon. Won't you tell me why you did it, Judith? You may as well, because I know anyway, more than you do. No, no, don't hide your face like that. Oh, it hurts your auntie more than you can tell when her little girl won't speak to her. Yesterday I was arranging her tray and wondering what would please her most. I had found a bright, clean napkin for her tray. And I was cutting bread thin as thin and corner-wise, because that is how she likes it. And then I looked out of the window. Well, what I saw upset me very much. It was my little girl running, wasn't it? Running, running. Running far down the garden to where the wall joins the big door. And peeping behind her to see if I watched. But I was behind the curtains and she couldn't see me, could she? Well, then I felt something inside me here, a tight, cold feeling all round my heart, because of two things. One was that she should go so terribly against my wishes. So many times I have said, since she was quite tiny, you mustn't go outside the garden, Judith, and you ought never to run. But there she was, in spite of all I had said and done for her. It made your auntie extremely unhappy, Judith. But the second reason was sadder still. As I ran out onto the lawn, I was saying to myself, now she will have to be told everything, and it may break her heart. Something wicked has made her do this, and she must know so that she can resist it. That's what I said to myself as I was running down the path. She will have to be told. You weren't going very fast, were you, dear? You were so young. And I am your old aunt, and yet I caught up with you among the pear trees. Now I want you to take another sip of water. There. Are you quite comfortable? You must be very brave, dear. Give me your hand. Oh, such a frail little hand, tight in mine. Very brave indeed, Judith. I'll have to tell you something that will be a very great shock. I'm going to be as gentle as I can, but it will still be a shock. Let me see. You remember that fairy tale from when you were very small? The Ugly Duckling. It looked so odd and different. The other ducks and everybody drove it away. And then it changed and grew into a beautiful swan. Do you know what beautiful is, Judy? You liked that story very much, didn't you? Now just think, dear, supposing that the duckling hadn't changed at all. Supposing it became still uglier. That wouldn't have made a very happy ending, would it? Oh, hold your auntie's hand very tightly, my love, and try to be ever such a brave girl. You see, Judith, I'm afraid you're that kind of a duckling. Oh, there, there. Ever since you came here, as a tiny tot with no mother and daddy, I've known someday I shall have to tell you that you were different from other people. Now you're understanding why nobody comes here, why I have to have a high, safe wall round the garden, and that you can never go outside, and why your auntie takes such care of you every minute of the day. I suppose you've often wondered why it was like that, haven't you? But you've always been so good and done as Auntie bid, and Auntie loves you so very much. It would have been the same if your parents had lived. Your lovely mamma would have done just what I did. We understood each other so well, as sisters do. I knew everything she should have, every single thing that was best for her. Then she married your father. She had no right. She had no right. We'll not talk about that. It's only what I said before. He wasn't really for her, not for her. That's it. He wasn't good enough. And so they've both gone a long time. And poor old Auntie's minding this little girl instead. And the little girl wants to know why she cannot go out and see the world at last, because she's grown to 15 years old. Well, now, just wait a minute. Here's the mirror, down from its hook. I can rest it against the foot of the bed. Carefully does it when the frame is loose. Can you see into it, Judith? Raise yourself a little, dear, see? There. See the precious duckling. See her? Oh, this is the part that's going to hurt, even with her auntie's arm tight around her. I want you to look at that shape in the mirror, Judy. Such a slender, curvy body, isn't it? So pale and soft. Those swollen little breasts. Did you think that was right, did you? Oh, now look at me, dear. I'm not like that at all. See how strong and solid I am. Straight everywhere and every line. That's the way people are, Judith. People outside. That little face of yours, Judy, pale, nearly like the bed sheets, except for two pinky cheeks and red lips, and eyes as blue as copper rot. Mine are dark brown, and my skin is dark and tough, and hair. Look in the mirror, dear. See that soft, thin, shiny yellow, like fading grass. Not thick and black, like other people's. Oh, my little Judy is crying. Oh, what sobs. You just didn't know, did you, how different you were? I've always kept it from you. That is why there are no pictures of people in the rooms. I didn't want you to be hurt. Brown-skinned and hard they are, with strong black hair. And I'm one of them. I'm one of them. So I can go out and talk among them, and they don't know about you, these dark people. Only I think of my little girl at home. That's different. Now, Judy, do you know what would have happened if your old auntie hadn't cared for you yesterday and run to stop you and guide you back into this house? Do you know what would have happened if you had gone past the pear trees and the green water tank and up to the big door, and if it hadn't been locked, but it always is, and you had opened and walked outside? Oh, something very horrible, Judith, something very horrible. You would have seen people like me, all like me, Judy. Only not smiling, I'm afraid. You would have seen them halt in the distance and point and murmur to each other in their dry grey robes. and move softly in the shadows. And presently as you walked, you would hear tiny shufflings and mutterings, and you would glimpse a head of a person on the other side of a wall keeping pace with you, or a grey hand signaling in a doorway. Then things would come quietly through the hot dust. They would be people, and they would be following you, because you were different. Remember how all the animals were unkind to the ugly duckling. People can be far crueler, Judy. People can be far crueler. You might speak to one of them, but your voice would be tiny with fright. His head would turn away with eyes remaining on you. And he would talk loudly and hard, not to you, to the others. You would feel the whisper run through, sealing them against you. And teeth and eyes would shine out from the whole band of them. Then they would be thrusting, jostling, and screaming, and all the roads clattering with laughter. Look at the eyes! They would shout, look at the eyes! See how it cries! There it is, running, running, running! The shouts would become the echo of your own feet, beating along the middle of the lanes, and the stones ringing under them, running, running, until you couldn't run any longer. And behind they would be coming, closing in on you, getting closer and closer, like one of those dreams Auntie calls nightmares. But this time it would be true, Judy. Oh, perhaps in your dreams you know. It's terrible, Judy. Oh, it's terrible to be different. Terrible, terrible. But your auntie's here. She understands. And there's a high wall and nothing to be afraid of if they don't see inside. And when you make that singing, or sit watching the clouds and wondering, or tremble at the thunder, there's only Auntie to know that you're doing what no one else does. Isn't there? Your auntie's your friend who understands. Oh, my Judy is brave, and she won't cry any more now, will she? Just one last look in the mirror at that strange little face, so that she'll know finally what her auntie meant. Look, Judy, look into the mirror. Oh, oh, my poor little girl, can't she bear to look, can't she then? Don't hide in the bedclothes, dear. You're never strange to me, you know. You're never strange to me. Take the mirror away. Oh, wait, Judith, wait. Wait, wait. I've something for you. I knew what a horrible shock it would be, and I got something that might help my little girl to bear it. There, right in her little hand. Do you know what it is? Do you know what it is, dear? It's a bottle of stain. Yes, stain. Quite harmless brown stain. Here, look. Look, it smells rather sweet, doesn't it? Smell. Now, if she wants, she can put a little into her washing water to darken those hands and those pink and white cheeks. It may burn a little bit, dear. But when she looks into the mirror, she won't seem so different after all. She can pretend to be like me, can't she? And after that, we must simply be patient and anti-loving. Because we haven't so very long in this world, have we? No, not very long. Now, if the little girl stops crying and lies quietly and still, she shall have a plate of bread and butter, cut just as she likes it, and some secret little treat. Her auntie will sit with her in this beautiful cozy room, and we shall have a game of Ludo. For I understand. I do understand, my Judy. And she's my very own. She's my very own for always. Poor little Judy. My poor little Judy. My poor little Judy.